Someone told me one time, I had done a sermon on Hebrews, and says, wow, that was really a good sermon. It was down at Beacon Light. And I says, well, the nice thing about the book of Hebrews, the book does all the work. Just read the text. So we're continuing on, and this week we're going to talk about the old and the new way. And it's the old and the new way by which we approach God. See, let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like God is very far away? You pray to him, but the prayers don't even get past the ceiling? God's supremely important. God sits in his perfect heaven. No one can approach God. He's holy. So to meet God, we feel like we need to have an introduction by someone close to him. In the Old Testament, that was the high priest. That was the high priest. Now it's through his son, Jesus Christ. So I want to paint a picture about how people accessed God under the old covenant and how we access God under the new covenant. The theme of Hebrews all along has been how great and majestic and mighty and how much better Jesus is than anything else that's come along. Remember, these Hebrew folks are kind of thinking, maybe I should go back to the old ways. But so the author of Hebrews is trying to get them to understand, you have to understand who it is that you're dealing with. We were driving in this morning, and most of you are probably familiar with a guy named J. Vernon McGee. We were listening to J. Vernon McGee on the radio, and then they had on Ravi Zacharias. Ravi Zacharias is an Indian man, in India, who's a great apologist and all that kind of stuff. And I just caught this one part of his sermon, which I thought was kind of relevant today, and it just struck me. He said that in his lifetime, he has watched all of these great supposedly leaders and empires raised. He remembers when the Italian guy said that he was going to reset the calendar because of his ascension to the leadership of Italy during World War II. And then he talked about how Hitler was going to purify the race and we're going to have a race of supermen and all that. And so that didn't kind of work out either. And then he said, then there was this guy named Stalin who was supposed to be the wisest man since Solomon and the most benevolent man ever. And he talked about how in our modern day we have great countries arise and they're going to be the leaders of the entire world. And this was his point. Every one of those empires or empire builders have all fallen into the dustbin of history. And standing behind them is the Lord Jesus Christ, who has stood the test of time for over 2,000 years. So this is the God with which we have to do. And we have to understand who he is in order to appreciate how we must be dedicated to it. But returning to our text today, please turn in your books to Hebrews chapter 9. And under the old covenant, God was harder to get closer to than the President of the United States. Under the new covenant, he's living with us. And at the end of time, in the fulfillment of scriptures and revelation, he will come and dwell among us. We will dwell directly with him. So we have the old covenant, and then we have the new covenant. To really grasp this radical difference, let's look at how people accessed the God in the Old Testament. So look in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 9. We're just going to read through the first few verses. And you can see the pictures up there. Now, even this first covenant, chapter 9, verse 1. Even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence. It's called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place, having the golden altar of incense and the ark of the covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was the golden urn holding the manna, and Aaron's staff that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. And of these things we cannot now speak in detail. These preparations, having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first section, but into the second section only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. But this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the ways into the holy place is not yet open as long as the first section is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. So according to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation. See, in the Old Testament, God lived in a man-made tabernacle. This is a foreshadowing. The same floor plan will obtain when they build the actual temple. You have an outside area where the priests do their work, and this is where the manna bread is right here, and the Ark of the Covenant is behind the Most Holy. And Moses was given very specific directions on how to build it, and that's the only way that you could approach God. You would take your offering to the priest. The priest would do their business out here with the burnings and all that side, and they would take them in. So you had to have the priest to intercede for you. Now, the truth is, he wasn't restricted to the tabernacle at all. God doesn't live anywhere, really, but for the purposes of meeting with people, the tabernacle was the way his chosen people had to approach him. So as you can see, the tabernacle has two rooms. The back room is where God dwelt. It is said that if you entered the most holy of holies, and you weren't the high priest, that you would be struck dead. That's how holy it was. In fact, some authors say that when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, they would actually tie a rope around his waist. So if he didn't come out after a while, they could pull him out. But it was a whole organized system of how it was done. By the way, the whole thing was portable, and every time the Israelites moved from place to place, they took the whole thing down, packed it up, took it to wherever the new place was, and they put it all up again. And this was all under the auspices of the Levites. Every time they set up camp, they had to set up this whole thing. So approaching God was a carefully orchestrated event. To get to God, you had to enter the outer court through a set of curtains on the eastern side. The tabernacle itself was closed to anyone except priests, and then only at specified times. There were two rooms separated by a heavy curtain. Remember that, separated by a heavy curtain, because that's going to come up again in a bit. This is where God dwelt. Now, this outer area was as close as any normal priest could actually ever get. It was a serious task that's treated with great reverence. It was actually the climax of a priest's career to offer incense at the altar of incense. That's the once a year to get through that curtain to actually offer up as the high priest was a big deal. The only person who could get access is the high priest. One day a year, the high priest entered the Holy of Holies to meet with God. So why am I telling you all this? Well, there's a reason. Because I want you to understand that approaching God is a very special thing. Only the high priest could dare approach God and come into his presence under the old covenant. With the old covenant, people didn't have free access to God, because their sins didn't really fix the sin of the person. This animal sacrifice had to be repeated over and over again because it was never sufficient to completely do the job. The sacrifices were outward acts which were performed to pay the penalty for their sins, but they didn't deal with the conscience. People still felt guilty. People still remembered. But that was the old covenant, which was flawed. The old covenant. Now, when Christ comes